Well, good morning. Man, it is great to see everyone here on this not a bright and cloudless morning, but it's going to get cloudless-er, I've been told by the weather bug on my phone, and it's supposed to clear up a little bit, and I know that here in Middle Tennessee, we're not going to know how to act if it's not raining for a day. But it's supposed to not rain today and maybe start drying up and get really cold. Which what that means is all this water that's sitting right on top of the ground is going to freeze, and so the ground's going to get really hard. So what, you know, fall down in the grass, it's not going to be as soft as it would have been earlier last week. Couple things I want to clear up real quick. Not clear up, but just sort of elaborate on. There are, first of all, the shepherds and I have been talking a lot about a lot of things, and one of the things that I'm excited about that they have told me is that, you know, obviously this is, you know, my family and I, we have been here now 10 years. We're in our 10th year. August the 21st will be 10 years here at Highland Hills, and the shepherds have assured me that they want us to be here for at least another 10 years. So that's a good thing for me, and we're excited about that. And, you know, it's great to be to have confidence of your leadership. And this project of February is exciting for me. The shepherds have been, over the last year or so, talking to all of the families in our congregation. I don't know if they've gotten to all of them. Schedules are very tough to get with. I know that there's some of them that they've been chasing for 6 months. And some of you guys have, you know, tough schedules, and that's just how it is, and they get that. But one of the things that has come up over and over again is this idea that, and if you don't think the shepherds are listening, well, you're not listening. Cause battery whatsoever? No? Okay. Felt like it. And they're saying, hey, these are some of the things that have come out of these meetings, and worship, addressing our worship is one of those. And what we want to do is have our worship to be an innovative, interactive worship experience. Now, that's not to say that everything that we've done for the last 10 years, 20 years, you know, and we are in our 25th year here at Highland Hills. This is the 25th year of existence for Highland Hills, and that's an exciting time to be here. Everything that has gone on in worship isn't going to be just like, well, we're not doing that anymore, we're going to do something else. That's not the case. But what we want to do is address this movement in the church of losing young people. Now, that is an epidemic in not only churches of Christ, but churches of any faith family. And we want, here at Highland Hills, we want to stem that tide. We want to stop that of losing young people in the church. And so this February is an experiment to see, one thing, if the older generation can be mature and realize, hey, there might be some things that we need to do differently in order to reach a younger lost generation. That's going to be hard for us older people to do, because I grew up in the church doing what I do, liking what I like, singing songs that I sing, and I'm going to have to get outside of my comfort zone a little bit. Now, let me tell you some things that aren't going to happen. All right? We're not going to bring in some snakes and start handling snakes and passing those around. We're not going to do that. No, praise the Lord and pass me a copperhead. Not going to happen. All right? You know, no livestock, no live animals. You know, we're not going to start passing out tambourines at the door. You know, there's certain things that Highland Hills and the Church of Christ, you know, that we embrace as our traditions, that we love, that we do, and we're going to do those things. We're going to continue to do the Lord's Supper every Sunday, okay? That's what we're going to, but there are things that we can do that will be interactive, that will be innovative, that will speak to a generation that needs the Lord. And that's what we are here to do as the body of Christ, is to bring in those who are not in the body of Christ. We're not going to change the never-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not going to do that. But what we will change is the vessel in which we present that in hopes that a younger generation will be enticed to drink from that. So that's the whole goal. And so it's going to be an experiment that hopefully we can continue. It will be one that we are all in this together, and I'm going to be talking to a lot of people and getting a lot of ideas and putting that together. And when they say Shane's the worship leader, that doesn't mean I'm going to be leading the singing. So don't worry about that. That doesn't, you know, Hayden turned around and said, "What are you doing?" I'm like, No. So it's just we're planning and collaborating on these things. Well, let me say this. 2015 is here. All congratulations to all of you. Your attendance record for this year so far is perfect. You should be commended for that. You have started 2015 on a great foot, on the right foot, being here, worshiping God, joined together with your brothers and sisters in Christ. I was talking to the folks across the street this morning at Morning Point. Can you believe that 2015 is here? I mean, it just seemed like yesterday we were worried about Y2K and what was going to happen and all the computers were going to shut down and all that. And here we are 15 years later. And, you know, when I was a kid growing up in the 70s, the year 2000 was just this, oh my goodness, it's never going to get here. And we're all going to have, you know, transporter rocket ship and we'll be flying around and, you know, like the Jetsons, and it's just, oh my goodness, what is the future going to hold? And here we are 15 years after 2000, and we do have some space age technology. I mean, I leave my phone on my desk because Mark Osborne will call me from his phone in the pulpit just to mess with me, so I don't do that. Craig will too. He'll send me a text just to see if my ringtone is on. But we have these phones that we all carry around that are tethered to nothing. And we can call someone from anywhere to anywhere. And if we want, we can push a button and see them talking to us as they see us talking to them. I mean, we can do that. And we can, you know, get on this internet that exists somewhere in outer space. And we can get any information that we want from anywhere at any time. If you want to know the circumference of the earth, you can get your phone, push a button and say, "Hello, what is the circumference of the earth?" And it'll tell you, it's roughly 29,000 miles. I tried that earlier. It works. What's the weather going to be like in Singapore? It's going to be rainy. Might be a little warm. What's the weather going to be like here? Boop, 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 boop. And it'll tell you the weather. And you know what you can do? You can look at radar on your phone, in your pocket, at any time. We live in the future. But the future is here today. And we're experiencing it. And it's time to get serious. It is time in 2015... as children of our Lord, to get serious. Not about technology. Not about the latest advancement in medicine or politics or any of those things. It is time to get serious about our relationship with God. And all of the advances, all of the technology, all of the things that we have the privilege of experiencing on a physical, you know, an intellectual level are distractions away from what is really important. And that is, where are we in our relationship? Everything that we have done, as we think about going forward and being a better person or making resolutions or doing this year right or any of those things, think about this. Everything that we have done in our lives has prepared us for this moment. Right or wrong, exciting or sorrowful, all of our experiences to this point have prepared us to live in this moment. When we anticipate all of those things and everything that we look for to this moment of our ability. As we look back, it's about how can I do right now great. And as we look forward, how can I prepare myself now to be great? It's about to be a part of. And he says that new starts, every new start that we have, need good finish. That's what he talks about in Philippians 3 and 13 when he says that, you know, I'm not perfect. You know, there's perfection coming, and I want to be the best I can be in Christ. You know, what does he say that to have taken hold of it? But one thing I knew, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which Jesus has called me heavenward. The reality is that Paul says to in order to start well, I've got to finish good. And in order to start 2015 good, not only having a great church attendance, which we all have right now, we are 100%. And we can go home and pray for all those slackers who are at 0% that aren't here today. But not only do we have a great church attendance, but we've got to start this year good. We've got to think about 2014 and finish it well. Well, it's over, Shane. How do we finish it well now? First thing we can do to have a good start is to have a good finish is, for one, put past sins behind you. If you want this year to be better than last year, if you want this moment to be better than the last one, the first thing we have to do is, looking forward, put all of the things that we have done in our life that were wrong, that were disappointing, that were all of the bad stuff. You've got to put that behind you. There's no point in regretting all of that and living in the past. Talking about sins that haunt us. Remember what you did way back in the day. Remember what you did last week. Remember what you did last night. All of those things. I hope that nobody finds out about this. I hope that we have got to be people who don't live in the past of past sins. They're always looking over our shoulder. But realize what Paul says. He says, look, not that I've already obtained all of this, or not that I've arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I love that. I love those words. You know, I want to grab a hold of what Christ has grabbed a hold of me for. Now, one of the things that we like to do is think about what we're going to grab a hold of. But before we think about what we're going to grab a hold of, think about who's grabbed a hold of you. I mean, that's who we are. Jesus has got a hold of us. Christ Jesus has talk about reach out and touch someone. Christ has reached out and He's got a hold of us. And the Bible says, Howard taught us this morning, and nothing can convince Him to let us go. So we don't have to be haunted by past sins. And we don't have to be hindered by past sins. Sins that hinder us, that make us think, oh, I'm damaged goods. Oh, I'm no longer worthy of this. One of the things that I can tell you, and I'm not, I do a lot of confessing in the pulpit, just because I want you to know that the person standing before you is under no delusions that I'm any better or having any righter than anyone else. I am a sinner saved by God's grace every day. And I've been a full-time minister for 15, almost 16 years now. And if that's not right, my wife will correct my math later. But I've been a full-time minister for a long time. But the problem is that I wasn't in ministry for a long time that I should have been. I've known since I was in the third grade that I was supposed to preach. I knew that. Joe Beam came to the school that I was attending and the church that my family helped start and preached. And Marvin Phillips came and preached. And I was enamored by those guys.
And I loved them. And I wanted to do
what they did. Because I thought they have the best job ever telling people about the best thing ever, the best story on earth. And they get to tell people about that. And when people are hurting, they get to be there and remind them of the glory that is in God and the grace that is available. And I just felt, I'm going to do that. And I could always talk. So, but then came my high school years. And I grew up in the church, going to church, doors open, Shane was there. Doing the lead and singing, doing the devotionals, being in the youth group. But then high school hit, and this whole big rebellious streak kind of hit. And then college hit, and that rebellious streak got paved. And I was damaged. I thought of people like Marvin Phillips, Joe Beam, and Glenn Lee, and Dr. E.R. Brannon. Guys that I grew up listening to, I thought they would never do the things that I've done. I can't stand before people and proclaim the goodness of God. Who am I? So I did what every, fallen preacher does. You go into sales. So that's what I did. I sold steel. I sold copiers. I sold insurance. I sold hardware. I did all those things to earn a living, support my family. In the belly of the whale, going away from where. And there was this voice that was God was saying, Shane, I didn't know it was God's voice. I just thought it was my ego, but saying, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. And then finally, it was my wife that said, Shane, this is what you need to do. But for years, I denied the calling of God on my life, and you'll never convince me that it's anything other than that. It is a calling for God to say, Shane, I want you to do this, not because you're great, but because I'm great, and I prove that He's great every day. But for years, I was afraid. For years, I had these sins that haunted me and hindered me from glorifying God, from doing what it is that He wanted me to do. And if we are going to be great, we have got to forget what is in the past and press on to what is in the future. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 tell us, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. I love this wording in the new International. The pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, not on our past sins or our failings, but fix our eyes on Jesus, looking ahead to what He is doing in us and what He has ultimately secured. So if we're going to have a great year, great going forward, we've got to finish well by putting past sins behind us. And also put your past sorrows behind you as well. Hebrews 12 and 15. See to it that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and to defile. So, there are things in our past, maybe not that we have done, but that have been done to us, that just fester, that we cling to. That folks have let us down, that they've disappointed us, that, maybe it was,
maybe not somebody doing something
to us, but maybe it was the circumstances, and we were a good person and did business the right way, and we treated folks with respect and honor and honesty and all those things, and we saved and we did without and we did all these things, and then the economy does this and the downturn happens here, and next thing you know, we're spending all of this time scrimping when that's all we've ever done. And God, why are things the way that they are? Well, I thought they were going to be better. I thought my retirement years were going to be easier than this. I thought my marriage was, I'd found this perfect person, and I thought it was going to be this, and I thought it was going to be that. But now I have all of this sorrow that just weighs me down because of expectations that weren't met. So don't let bitterness, don't let disappointment, don't let past sorrows hinder you. cleanse your heart. David says in the Psalm, God, if you clean me, I will be clean. He uses a metaphor with hyssop, and that doesn't mean anything to us, but it's a word picture that he's saying that, God, if you clean me, if you take away my past sorrows, my bitterness, my anger towards this situation or that circumstance, you know, this sin or what this disappointment, God, if you clean me, I'll be clean. We have to allow God to cleanse us, to get old feelings out. James tells us to confess our sins, to confess our disappointments, to confess our needs and our lacks to God. And this is hard. It's hard to let go of disappointments in the past, especially if it's a disappointment that we've held on to for years. And I know that there are some in here and relationships out there that, man, we've been holding on to sorrows and disappointments for 20 years. That's hard to let go of. I mean, sometimes our hand gets locked in a clench and I'm hanging on to that. I'm not going to let it go. We have to ask God, God, please, please help me. Pry my fingers loose of this sorrow, of this disappointment, of this pain, this hurt, this whatever it is. God, please, you help me. Cleanse me of this. And little by little, He'll pry those fingers off. It's not overnight. It's a process. You know, I think that He says, don't let a bitter root grow up, you know, because it's deep. He doesn't say, you know, this bitter grass. He says the root. Because it gets deep. And He says, you know, whatever it is, whether someone's hurt you or a circumstance was a disappointment, whatever it is, ask God to help cleanse this out of me and clear, not only cleanse your heart, but clear your heart. That's what I meant. Clear it. Treat people like you've forgiven them. Oh. How hard is that? How hard? I mean, it's easy. It's easy to say, oh, I've forgiven you. It's easy to say, well, you know when you did that, well, I've that's all in the past. I've let that go. And then we go on acting as though it's right here in the present. But clearing our heart, having a good, going forward good finish is clearing all that out and treating people, treating circumstances as though we have forgiven, as though we have moved on. You know, maybe it was, you know, a financial crisis. You know, the stock market does this and that. And so now, you know, oh, I've just, that our finances just ruin our, you know, run our life. Find the good. Enjoy other things. Clear your heart. Act as though God. Now listen to this. Because this was hard for me to hear this week. Act as though God is really all we need. I mean, if we do that, if we, you know, when we see people that have disappointed us, when we see them, make a point to go up to them, hug their neck, shake their hand. Now, everybody that I hug and shake their hand today is thinking, ooh, is he forcing that? Who cares? I genuinely want to let things go. I genuinely don't want to live in the past with past hurts and past sins and past sorrows. So the best thing that I know to do is just act like it never happened and go up and hug people that I've hurt and that have hurt me. Just act like God is all we need. The last thing. Put past successes behind you as well. Now, I'm not talking about earthly, worldly successes. I'm not talking about, okay, we've you know, I've built up this business, or, you know, I've accomplished this one thing, or whatever it is. I'm talking about focusing on godly successes. When I'm talking about getting, it's time to get serious. It's time to get serious. Do we have godly spiritual goals for 2015? Now, I know that most of us have sat down and, okay, my financial goals and, you know, relationship goals and my work goals and all those things. And we've sat down with the, you know, the budget and, okay, our financial goals are this. And man, we want to do these things. And so we've got we have this financial goal, and it's called a budget. And we hope we meet it every week so that we can do the things that we want to do. But you see, those are godly goals. Do we have that as individuals? See, maybe it's time to put past successes. Oh man, look at all that I have piled up in this life. Look at all of the social accolades that I have won. Look at the, you know, whatever it is. Maybe it's time to put all of those worldly, earthly successes behind us. And as Jesus told the rich young ruler in Matthew, maybe it's time to get rid of all those successes, throw them away, and come follow Jesus. Truly follow Him. Maybe this is the year that you put all of those past sins that haunt and hinder, and all of the sorrows that cause you to be bitter, all of that behind you that keep you from being a person who is called to evangelize and to win souls to Christ, all of those things that keep you from doing it, because people look at us and they say, I either want to be like them, or I want to be opposite of them. I want to be one of them. I want to be far away from them. And maybe we put all of those things that make people not want to be one of us, put them all away, so that we can focus on godly successes. So that we can finally, this be the year that we bring people to Christ. That we bring people to the Lord. This is the year. This is the day. This is the week that we ignite that passion, that fire. No longer worried about things that we did, you know, a month ago, a year ago, things that we, oh God, if they find out. No, we're not doing them anymore. And we're not letting them haunt us and hinder us anymore. And those sorrows, that bitterness, we're putting that away, so when people look at us, they say, I want to be like that person. And then we're free to step out in faith and to talk to folks about our faith, about our Jesus. It was said, He is no fool who will give up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Can we put away past successes, celebrate what has been done for us, praise God for all that He has done on our behalf? Can we not only celebrate, but anticipate what can be done? Anticipate not only what we can do, but what God can do for us. William Carey, a great missionary, said, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. Expect greatness from God so that we can attempt greatness for Him and elevate what should be done. As we make our goals for this year, don't make bigger plans. Don't make bigger goals. Make better ones. Make godly ones. Make goals and plans that have to do with expanding the kingdom. Not just growing our net worth. Make goals and plans that affect eternity. Not just the bottom line. What do godly successes look like? Well, they look a whole lot like Matthew 6 and 33. Our goal this year should be to seek first the kingdom of God. Can we do that? Can we do that in 2015? Can we get serious about this thing that we call our spiritual life, our life in Christ? Can we all be people who are putting the past where it should be, in its place, behind us, and straining to take hold of what Christ has taken hold of us for? Put away the sins of the past. Clear your heart of the sorrows and make better plans. This morning, I want to invite you to finish 2014. Let it go. Oh man, Frozen still in my head. How many other people heard, "Let it go, let it go"? I know. It's every day I hear that music in my van. But let it go. Seriously. Finish it. Go forward. Maybe for some of you this morning, it's confessing Christ. Let the day be the day where you finish well to start greatness. Confess Christ as your Lord and Savior. Be baptized into His death, burial, and resurrection. And live the rest of today and the rest of your life saved by His grace. Live grabbed a hold of by God. Whatever your need is, I'm going to be up front. If you want to come forward and talk to me and we can pray about these things and solicit the prayers of the church, whatever your need is, would you let us know as together we stand and as we sing.